And I want Brother Gary to draw something on the board here for me, or not draw, write some for me. I want to read something about the Word of God. And I feel when service comes to close today, you're going to see the importance of a real, live, living ministry among us. Amen. That's what it's going to take. All right, let's turn to 2 Peter. And I'll just get Brother Gary to stand there just a moment. And I want to read a scripture here concerning what the Word's for. It's for prophecy. There's two things, let me say this, there's two things in the Word of God that cannot be changed, that man has nothing to do with.
Amen.
And it's not movable. And that's prophecy. That's direct from God, and it will always come to pass. How many knows that's so? And whatever's prophesied, there's no condition, world condition or whatever type condition, can change or hinder that. There are certain things that's to be, like the coming of the Lord, the millennia, and all these things that's prophesied in the Word of God. It was prophesied in the Word of God that God said, "Behold, I'll send unto you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That was a prophecy. And it came to pass and wasn't any way, nothing, nobody could ever stop that prophecy. Amen. It came to pass. And likewise, these other things in the Word of God that's prophesied to be at the end time, they will come to pass. And we can't speed them up. We can't slow them down. We can't hinder them. It's just something that's taking place. Just like I said last night about things we're seeing now. Taking place on the world scene. How the United States and Russia now is beginning to talk about disarming themselves. Because the European beast, it has another period to rule right at the end time. The ten-horned beast. And this year, other two superpowers has got to be brought down, that European beast will rise on the scene. So it's prophecy, and nobody can do anything to change, stop, slow down, speed up, or hinder. How many say amen to that? Amen, because it's fixed in God. So let's read in the Word, excuse me, in the Word of God here in 2 Peter. And I want to read verses, in 1st chapter, verses 19 through 20. Amen. Now when we get on the instructional part, that's where we want you to really, as Brother Brandon would say, put your thinking caps on. Amen. So we begin reading here in 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 19. It says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." They start rising hard. How many knows what that is? Christ. Amen. If he rise. Amen. Alright, verse 20 it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture." Now I want you to notice that prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. That's fixed in God. Verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." All right, I want you to notice this. This prophecy, man just didn't rise up and prophesy something. How many knows that? Amen. It was out the prophecy that's written in the Word of God. It was absolutely God telling, foretelling what would be. Amen. And prophesying. "And it came not by the will of man." Now, when we get into the Corinthians, Paul instructing the church, he would say it was one place, he said, "It was my will for a certain brother to go over here, but it wasn't his will to go at this time," and so forth. And we want to see the difference in that instructional part of the Word of God, because there's got to be instruction in this day and hour we're living in, and that's what the live ministry is for. Amen. So, first of all, Brother Gary, would you write prophecy up here? Amen. Get on top of the board here. And then, while he's writing, I want to turn to 2 Timothy. All right? 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. And this is something that I want you to notice in the Word of God. First of all, the Scripture we just read shows that the Scripture, part of the Scripture, is prophecy, but not all the Scripture is prophecy. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Not all the Scripture is prophecy. Amen. Because the Scripture is given for different things. But now, prophecy, this is, how many knows what we just read? It came from God. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was not their thoughts. Because how could a man like Daniel thought about that beast, that European beast that was in the Dark Ages, that was wounded unto death, that's yet to rise again back in the B.C. period? Amen. It was absolutely God foretelling. How could Isaiah 65 foretell of the millennia? Amen. And how all these things would be, 1,000 years of peace. Amen. When Satan is bound, how could John on the Isle of Patmos foretell exactly what would take place when the Lord come to earth, and how the devil would be bound, how he would be cast in a bottomless pit, bound for 1,000 years, afterward loose for a little season? Man can't do that. Amen. But it's this right here. Amen. And nothing can stop it. Amen. Because it's fixed in God. Praise the Lord. Now, in saying that, I want to show you something else in the Word of God that comes from God, that's fixed in God, that we don't have anything to do with. All right, beginning in 2 Timothy here, 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says here, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, first of all, I want you to notice, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But all Scripture is not this right here. Amen. All Scripture is not prophecy. Amen. Now, that's important, but that is part of the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he says here, alright, and is profitable for doctrine. Amen. I want you to write doctrine here, Brother Gary, right below that. Amen. Now, this is something here we don't change. We don't have anything to do with. Amen. Doctrine is a fixed truth. Amen. Alright, would you just kind of maybe put fixed on that, because this can't be moved. Amen. Now, I want you to show you when we get on down to the instruction, reproof, and so forth, how it takes a living ministry. All right? This is directly from God, apart from man. Amen. When he gave a doctrine to the church, amen, that's what we're saved by, doctrine. Amen. Because he told Timothy there to continue in the doctrine. For in doing so, you'll not only save yourself, but them that hear you. Amen. Praise God. Is that right? Amen. All right, this prophecy here, as we read, it came from God. But there's other things in the Word of God, and I want to show you some of the things that Paul instructed the church when condition changed. 6 years later, he actually changed and gave other instructions in the Word of God. Amen. It has nothing to do with this here now. If you'll learn this today, you can go home just rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And the Bible will become a new book to you. Praise God. Amen. It's so wonderful because this here is fixed in the Word. Amen. This is poured in concrete here. Amen. The prophecy, it can't be moved. It's poured in concrete. The doctrine, it can't be moved. It's poured in concrete. But there's instruction that many times served the church for that period of time, and when the condition were moved, those things, they were changed. Because that's where the live ministry come in and give instruction. Now, I want to say something concerning what Brother Brown said here on the church order. Amen. And before we get on instruction, Brother Brown gave instruction to his church for a little season. We got a brother over in Anderson, South Carolina, Brother Gerald Cleveland, has a letter from Billy Paul. I want to get some copies made and pass them around because, of course, I don't suppose it affects y'all too much. But where we go, a lot of people that believe in Brother Brown, and I do. I believe he was the prophet messenger sent for this to bring the word, to bring a truth to get us back on the Word. But that's prophecy fulfilled. That's already fulfilled. Malachi 4 is already come and gone. But he told his church there, now if you speak in tongues, go back in the little room and so forth. And said the gifts of the Spirit, let the ones that has the gifts come to church early and meet about 30 minutes early and then see if the gifts work. And if something's revealed, let it be written down and brought and laid on the pulpit. And when the pastor come, he'll get it and read it. And then we'll see whether it's right or not and so forth like that. But he did that, and he wrote, Brother Paul wrote in a letter, Brother Cleveland said, a condition existed in the church there that had about 400 or 500 people that part of the time. And many times Brother Brown would try to preach, and about time he got preaching, got anointed, two or three, jump up speaking in tongues, interpreting, and it was a constant, he couldn't hardly ever get a sermon out without a lot of just constant interruption. Amen. So he gave some instruction, but you know what people have done with it? Not knowing the difference in doctrine and instruction, they've took that and made a doctrine for all the churches to go by that follow Brother Brown's message, and they've got the church so far from the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God and the living Jesus, amen, that when you go in there, you think you're going in a funeral parlor or something. Amen. Because they took instruction and made this out of it. This is in the Word. Amen. This is already in the Bible. Amen. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a fixed doctrine. Nobody can change that. Amen. And no one can ever instruct the church that it'll be all right to be baptized otherwise, because that's one of the doctrines, amen, that God's given us. Now, when we continue here, I want Brother Gary to write some other things on the board below this. All right. The Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All right. For reproof, if you'd like, write for reproof right below this, if you will, please. Amen. All right. For correction, right under that. All right. And instruction. While we're there, and then that'll finish up on the board. Amen. Now, this year down here, reproof is a reproof and correct the condition. Amen. Correction is when something's going on that needs correcting. Amen. And the Scripture's given for that, but none of this year is this up here. This is what the church operates daily. Amen. That's why the living Jesus has to be among the church, because there's constant instruction has to be given to the church. That's why we meet together. The Bible says, forsaken not to assembling ourselves together, even more so as we see that day approaching. Amen. Because there's got to be reproof, there's got to be correction and instruction. Amen. So I want to take the thought and deal basically with this. These are the two things here that people has trouble separating. Doctrine and instruction. Amen. And we begin to, and God will let this church know. And these are not poured in concrete. This is clay that's moldable. Hallelujah. This reproof, correction, and instruction. And I'm going to show you in the Word of God that that is the truth. Praise God. And a lot of the things that Paul said does not apply to the church in the present state that Paul gave it, because he was living in a Eastern country with Eastern custom 2,000 years ago. We're living in a Western country with Western custom, and we're 2,000 years later living in the modern day. Paul, he would be totally out of place in this day and hour we're living in, because the customs are so different and so forth. Now, as we continue reading this, verse 16, we'll back up and get all the Scripture now that we've got. It lays here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. And that don't change. For reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Now there's, we got what the Scripture's given for. Amen. And of course the prophecy part, that's what will happen. Amen. And what we believe and how we act and what we do does not even get nowhere around this. Because this is what God's doing. This is what God said He was going to do. Amen. He said He would bring Israel back to the homeland in the last days, didn't He? How many knows He said that? Look what he did. He turned a Hitler loose and all that in order to fulfill this right here, to bring this to pass, because that is the Word of God prophecy. Amen. But what Hitler done, all this has nothing to do with this here. Amen. This doctrine is for the church to be saved by. And I want to, and I'm going to hurry here this morning, but I don't want to hurry so fast that you don't get what we're saying. I want to back up in the Word of God. Let's go to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want to show you some of the things of instruction in the Word of God. And that's where a lot of people, they get all a little bit out of line with some of the things Paul said, because Paul instructed people to do certain things for a certain reason, and when that certain thing was corrected, that no longer applied, and it did not become part of the church doctrine. Paul said some things, amen, that if it was made a long-term rule, it would contradict this right here. Amen. Now I know that may be a little shaking, but it's the truth, folks, and I want to show you. Amen. And we'll get that right in 1 Corinthians, rather, the 7th chapter. And just bear with me. And if this seems a little bit strange to you, it is God's Word. And when you leave here today, I believe you'll be able to look at this book different and hold it to your breast and say, oh, this is the greatest book that's ever been written. Amen. And when you read it, it's not a lot of things that you have to wonder about and be confused about. Amen. Because everything fit in there just like gears, cogs on a big gear. Everything works so perfectly. Praise the Lord. Now, I could get the whole of 1 Corinthians here, but we won't do that, because we could probably stay all day on this. And I'm sure we could, and we could still be applying through it at the end of the day, going out and back to the things that Peter wrote and all. But we want to give you enough to just study on, and I believe God's going to bless you. Now, Paul said some things in this chapter here, and I'll begin reading with verse 25 here of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Now, some of the things that Paul gave as instruction, the Catholic Church took and made doctrine out of it. How many know that? Amen. Now, I want to show you. So, well, Brother Howard, is that very important for us to know? It's very important. I'll tell you what, we had a minister come through down at our place sometime back. Been a good while back now. I got the idea that if you were married, you live as though you were unmarried. As far as any family relationship and so forth, said you'll be closer to God, and the bride will not be that way just before the rapture, not have any family relationship and so forth. And he was getting some of the things Paul said out of Corinthians. Amen. And he was making some instruction Paul gave for Ephesians, trying to make it a doctrine of the church. But from the beginning, in Genesis, or in the garden, God made woman for man. And he said, these two shall be one flesh. Hallelujah. And no, that is God's doctrine for all time and eternity. And nothing can change that. Amen. You can't take instruction of the Word of God and try to teach doctrine and make it a doctrine for God's church. Amen. From time to time, men of God saw certain conditions, and they laid instruction down for a certain time. And that is only this right here. And it can and is changed and moved to fit the present day congregation. Amen. That's why there's a fivefold ministry. When Jesus ascended on high, he spoke in Old Testament times how to do it by the prophet. But in the last days, when he ascended on high, how does he speak? Amen. The Bible says he speaks to us by his Son. Amen. And when the Son ascended on high, the gifts and offices of the ministry that was in him, amen, he left them right in the church. And he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Amen. And you might say, well, Brother Howard, where does Brother Brown fit in this fivefold ministry? Brother Brown was not part of the fivefold ministry in that sense. All those five offices worked through Brother Brown just like they did the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Brown was an Old Testament type spirit, Elijah.
Amen. And he was a prophet, and God told him to do the work of an evangelist, and he worked in all those realms. Amen. Malachi 4 made room for Ephesians 4. Amen. So, Christ ascended on high. He put these offices in the church. When he was here, he was able to instruct people. Paul instructed the people. Amen. But even Christ himself didn't come to change this. When they said, this man has a strange doctrine, we hear strange things. You know what he said? He said, my doctrine is not my own. Amen. But my doctrine is the doctrine of the Father that sent me. So he himself didn't change this. He didn't make it. This was settled in God from time eternity. Amen. And we just got to believe it. But now this year, all this, that's why you got a living ministry. A condition, get our hands somewhere. You got a live ministry that's able to give instruction, amen, to correct that condition. And once that condition is corrected, it's for correction and reproof. Then that condition no longer applies, and it doesn't become a permanent part of the doctrine. It doesn't become part of this. These two are fixed in God, cannot be moved. Amen. That's why we got to have a living Jesus to anoint me and to give instruction in this day and hour. Amen. And again, this is poured in concrete. It's fixed. This year, it's clay. Amen. It's moldable. It's movable. And we're going to show you that now in the Word of God. Let's begin with verse 25 here. I'm getting a little excited. I'm trying to... All right. Verse 25, it says, Paul speaking, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, first of all, he's saying, I don't have a command of the Lord, but I want to give you my judgment. Amen. And a man of God can give his judgment on a condition, but it's not. When I give my judgment on something, my thoughts on something, it doesn't work here. It works right here, and this can be changed. Amen. 6 months later, I may see the condition a little different. Amen. But none of this here ever changed. It's fixed in God. So Paul said, now concerning virgin, I have no commandment, Lord, but I give my judgment. And listen why he said it. Verse 26. He said, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Now, then he began to give instruction. And notice he said, for the present distress. Which shows me that this is not what Paul's saying. Now, he wasn't making a permanent doctrine for the church. The church were in distress. The economy, it was hard. Persecution was severe upon the saints. And it appeared that the coming of the Lord was so near, because even down here, Paul said, the coming of the Lord is nigh. But that was 2,000 years ago, almost. And we're still here, and the Lord hadn't come yet. Amen. So that doesn't get up here with these things that sticks. That's instruction. The Word, the Scripture, is both doctrinal and instructional. Amen. And doctrinal, we don't mess with. We don't change. We can't say, well, I know a better way to do this. I know a better way to be baptized. No, you don't. Amen. That's a doctrine in God. It's to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said when he opened the door there on the day of Pentecost. And that was a doctrine to be saved by. Praise God. But Paul, this year, noted, I suppose that this is good for the present distress for. And then he goes on, verse 27, he says, Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. In other words, don't run and get a divorce because this condition's coming upon them. The world's coming to an end. He says, Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now there. Amen. We're getting to a place here. Art thou loose from a wife, then don't you get married. Amen. Don't seek a wife. Amen. Now, now here's where the Catholic Church, they see the priest and all, they can't marry. They got some idea that if a man live a say that word for me, brother. Celibacy. That is, don't have any sexual relation with his wife or stay single or so forth. Then somehow or another, he's a little more holy. Amen. That is a big lie of the devil, because that's why God gave a man a wife. Amen. Is that right? She become part of him. But Paul began to look at a condition here. Amen. And he knew, He thought that by looking at what was taking place, he thought that the end was surely near. And we'll get that in another verse down. Art thou bound to a wife? Then don't get a divorce. Then he says, if you're not bound, he goes on with this verse 28. Yeah. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not a wife. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. That breaks all the continuity of God's doctrine all the way from Genesis on through. Even the millennial, they'll marry, build houses, amen, raise children, have families, even in the millennial age. Amen. Right on into, we go into eternity. When God's law of when God has finished his family, brought all the family in, the law of reproduction cut off, that'll be in the great eternal age when all God's family in. Amen. But even in the millennium, people will be marrying, building houses, raising children. So Paul did not make a doctrine here that if you're loose, now had he have done it, there would have been nobody that could have been in harmony with God in seeking a wife. Amen. Because when you begin to seek a wife or a wife, husband, wife, then immediately you would break this right, the doctrine of God. You'd fall out of favor with God. Amen. If it was a doctrine. But the Word of God is given for reproof, for correction, and for doctrine is only one of the things that the Word of God is given for. Amen. And this prophecy here, it's fixed. Now, let's go on here. And I got so much. Jeff, I get hurrying too much. You just excuse me. It says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. In other words, you've come very, very close. See, my instruction is not to marry. If you don't have a wife, don't seek one. And then he goes on here. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Now, I want you to notice what he's saying here. We get all the instruction. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned, yet nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. There was a man, his name's written in Philippians, I believe, Clement. And he wrote after John there. And he wrote so much on celibate that, and being a virgin that his teaching was, and he was one of, that's the name's written in the Bible, that it was almost a sin to get married. Amen. But I want to show you something. Where did they get it? Amen. They couldn't separate the instruction from doctrine. Clement, after Paul died, he made a doctrine. And Clement's one that Paul wrote about there and whose names are in the book of life and so forth. They were great men of God for that hour. But somehow or another, the Jewish people there, they thought that if a woman was a virgin, somehow she was a little cleaner, a little holy. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. When you make it part of this up here. Because God gave man and woman to be together, and Paul said, defraud not one another, and so forth. That's the correct thing. Amen. Give yourself one to another, and so forth. But you see where the Catholic Church got started. And we're going to get on bishops and deacons and elders and how some of those things fit in there that Paul instructed the people. And people have made a doctrine out of it. Amen. And it's not part of the doctrine. This year, any of this can be moved to fit the situation. Hello? Amen. You don't change what's written, but you apply the condition for our time and our day and our condition. Because this wasn't made part of the doctrine. Amen. All right. And it's not part of the doctrine. Neither is it part of the prophecy. Okay, let's just read on now. Verse 29, it says, but this I say, brethren, now watch, this I say, the time is short, it remaineth. All right, watch, that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Amen. Now I want you to watch. The time is short, brethren. Can you see the condition that Paul was looking at? He said, the time is short. Now if you don't have a wife, or if you have, just be as though you have none. Now, the doctrine came out a few years ago, and I've been against it from day one because it's wrong. It's not fit the word. That if you have a wife, be as though you have none. In other words, live a celibate life
Don't partake with sexual activities because it hinders your growth in the Lord. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. Paul, he said over here, said, you young women get married because some's already turned aside out of Satan. Watch here. He says, the time is short. Now, it remaineth. Verse 29 again. I know this is repetition of some of the verses. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none. Amen. Now, I want you to look here. The time's short. It'd be better for the younger women to be a virgin. Amen. Now, is that doctrine of God? Amen. If Brother Gary got up here and began to preach, or I'll not say Brother Gary, myself, if I come up here and tell you, now, you that are single, don't try, don't seek a wife, don't seek a husband, because you'll be better off to stay single. Well, my experience has been this, and I believe it will go all the way through the Word of God. Solomon said, he that found the wife, I found the good thing. Amen. Is that right? Glory to God. So that from time eternity, there was a doctrine established in the book of Genesis there, in the garden, when God created the female, male and female. He created the female for the male. Amen. For them, for one another. It became a doctrine of what God's purpose was for humanity. Amen. And nothing has ever changed that. Amen. Jewish tradition was that it's better for one, if a man had a daughter, if he kept her to be a virgin, then he did a great thing for God. That was their thought. It's never scripture. And it fed its way into instruction. Because sometimes how a person is raised and where he's raised and so forth has to do a lot of time with his thinking and the way of operating and the way of instruction, but it don't never have nothing to do with this up here. That's why God said in church apostles, I believe there's apostles today, just like in Bible days. I believe there's prophets today, just like in Bible days. I believe there's evangelists today, just like in Bible days. I believe there's pastors today that's able to give reproof, and sometimes it hurt reproof. And you give correction if you're doing something wrong, correction. And he is able, by the anointing of God, to know the condition, let you come and counsel with him, talk about the situation, and when he does, when you talk to him, he's able to give you instruction as to what to do. Amen. But it don't change this right here, either bit of this. Amen. Well, see, Paul wrote these letters to the church. He wrote many letters, but about 14 of them found their way in, become part of the scripture, and that was what God ordained. Because he wanted us here at the end time to open this book and look and see what the great Jesus could do among us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I kind of wish some more of his books had got put in here, some of his letters. Amen. Because I enjoy these 14 so good. Amen. That I wish they'd just put, but God, he put what he wanted to in. How many know this? Just the letters. Although Paul wrote from prison for several years, wrote letters to different churches, instructing them and so forth like that. But see, the wisdom of God, why weren't those other letters put in? God put enough in to let us see how the Holy Ghost works, amen, through the living ministry. Praise God. All right, let's continue reading here. Verse 29, he's saying, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they weep not, they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Now watch what he says. And they that buy as though they possess not. All right, now watch what Paul's saying here. He's shutting down, the way he's looking at it, he said the time is so short. He's kind of shutting down the economy system. See, if you buy, be as though you bought not. If you sell, be as though you sold not. If you got a wife, don't get rid of it. If you ain't got a wife, don't seek one. This I say because the time is short. You know what? There was a time period come to the end in that hour. For the first 20 years there or so after Pentecost, remember the church age didn't start till along about 53 A.D. And even then they were very much on the Word. But you know what? That little age of purity come to a close and they fell away and the church went into a church age, and the Bible calls it in Matthew 13 the kingdom of heaven age, where wheat and tare grows together. But that little period there at the original beginning
Wheat and tare didn't grow together. That was Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. They came into the church, you know, and they tried to lie. Amen. You know what happened? Somebody tell me. They both fell dead, gave up the ghost. All right, that was when Jesus Christ's body was really in action. When Christ himself was there in such a real form. I'm talking about the spiritual Christ. And the church was literally the body of Christ. And Christ dwelled among them. Amen. Then that period came to an end and it went into the seven church ages. But now we're at the end of the seven church age again and we're getting back to where we can handle this right here. Amen. Through the ages, the Bible says the Bible served as a light that shines in a dark place. He said, but the sun's going to shine. Amen. When the sun shines, it'll get light, and we'll know this. Some preacher come by saying, if you're married, live a sober life, you tell that preacher to get down the road. He said, well, I can prove scripture on it. Well, that don't matter, because all scripture is not doctrine. Some scripture was for instruction, for reproof. And it served a purpose for that time, and even the great Saint Paul himself in prison 6 years later wrote and invalidated some of his instructions here. Amen. Alright, let's go on just a little further here. Verse 31 it says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something that's very bad for a minister to say, unless it's taken in the context of this down here. It's not taken in the context of this. I disagree with Paul on that. You know why? He changed it himself a few years later. Amen. He was instructing the church for that time. Now, in this Western world, in this hour, a young man, I tell you, I just speak from my own personal experience. When I got married, found the wife, I found a good thing. Amen. I wasn't out here crowding around and all that and so forth, hunting a woman, you know. Amen. I found a good wife and we pray together. We serve the Lord together and everything has been so wonderful. He that found the wife found a good thing. And I draw closer to God. Amen. There are certain physical laws set up in the body of men and women. Amen. And the physical laws, you desire a young man, if he's normal, he will desire a wife. Amen. Because there's a law set up in his body. Amen. That begin the work. How many will say amen? Amen. A young woman, if she's normal, when she gets 14 or 15 and along there now, they're getting 10, 12 long early. You know, I'm not going to say about that, though. But anyway, when they get the law of reproduction and maturity begin to work in their body, you know what? They'll begin to seek companionship. They'll begin to want a young man. Amen. They'll want to find a boyfriend. And they'll want to get married. Amen. Well, is that wrong? No, that's perfectly normal thing to do. Now, there is people that's completely satisfied single, but those are isolated cases. Amen. I believe according to the Word of God all the way through, amen, that the law of God is for a young man to seek a young woman to marry, and a young woman is to seek a young man. Now, Paul, his instruction was contrary to that a little bit. He said a man can be closer to God if he's not married. Huh? Amen. And let's see what he said about the young woman, young girl. If you go around these malls today, I think you'd disagree with Paul. Huh? Well, you see what's going on. Amen. All right, listen now. As we go on to the next verse, it says, here, verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Now watch Paul doing something here. He's going to put a wife not quite as good as a virgin. Amen. Well, I tell you, you watch the young women today. If they
Once they get married to a good Christian man, they settle down. Amen. And it's better for a young woman, as Paul said later, to marry, to raise family, be keepers of the home. And I've got a scripture on this a little later, so I'm not going to have time to get it, so I'll just sort of quote it to you. Paul said there in the book of Timothy there, he says about the fall, man's not in transgression and so forth, but tell what the woman done. Said, nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing, if she continue in sobriety and so on and so forth. Amen. Not the bearing of the child she'll be saved, but if she continue in faith and sobriety and so forth. But how could a virgin bear children? Huh? Amen. There was only one that's ever bore a child. Her name was Mary. Amen. She bore the precious Son of God. Amen. Now, Paul's instructing the woman here, it'd be better to be a virgin, but get over in 2 Timothy there, he began to talk a little different. So let's read here on the verse 34. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. You know what, Paul, he's leaving the impression that she is married and having a sexual relation with her husband, she's not quite as holy in body. Now, that teaching went off there where we get it from Roman Catholicism. Amen. If you've ever read the Antonicene Fathers, read what happened in the church just after the book of Revelation went wrong about 100 A.D. Amen. That's why today, many of like the Catholic Church, and I've spoke of the Gospel Assembly people. If a minister has been with his wife in the last 3 days, he don't sit on the platform because he's not quite clean. And they'll go right here to Paul and try to get what Paul says to make it work. And they'll say, a woman, if she's more holy both in body and in spirit, if she doesn't get married, then why did Paul tell them, I would that the young woman marry and raise children? Amen. Now this is this part of the word here, and it's not to be applied to us in this hour, but it's showing what God invested in the ministry to give instruction for a certain time, and the same God gave Paul when the condition. See, Paul was further convinced at the end time. He said, the time is short, brethren. 2,000 years ago, Peter had the same thought. Amen. He said, brethren, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And he began to instruct. But see, they just didn't see all this right here. Amen. They didn't see seven church ages. Amen. And only John got the revelation. He got the word, the prophecy of seven church ages. But even he didn't understand that it would be 2,000 years. You say, why did God do that? God wanted his people to keep looking for him all the way through. Amen. So that those died in the 11th century, amen, it's as though they just fell asleep and woke up. Not that they're sleeping, but they went down looking for the coming of the Lord. All the saints, all the way through. Amen. But in all of this, this is still fixed. This is the same as it was. That's why God sent a prophet to return us to the faith of the fathers, to the prophecy they believed, and also the doctrine. The doctrine of the early church we have now, and we're basically on unity, in unity on this. Amen. That's where the devil has come in, and he don't like a message like this, and he'll try to do everything he can to stop it. And he'll even try to put something on some of mine that I'm trying to say I don't agree with the word. I agree with every word that's written in the Bible. I believe it's the word of God. All scripture is given an answer. But I believe this here is movable to fit the condition that we're living in. Amen. Now we're in unity on this, and the devil, he's trying because of certain instruction. Amen. We can see instruction a little different and instruct a little different for different areas and different conditions. Amen. Don't have nothing to do with this. Amen. We're to be in unity. Amen. On the doctrine and the prophecy of the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. Now Peter and Paul wasn't all together in unity on the instruction. If you'll read Galatians chapter 2, Paul went over there and he found Peter down in Antioch. Peter there was eating meat with, I'm just saying eating meat, I'm just using this, he was eating with a Gentile. He might have been eating swine meat, I don't know. The Bible don't say, and I'm just using that I'm using that strictly for the base of instruction. And for illustration rather, because the Bible don't say it's what they were eating. But Peter was down there fellowshipping
and eating with a Gentile. All right, some of the folks from Jerusalem came down. Amen. And Paul along with them. Peter, you know what he did? He separated himself from the Gentile and he withdrawn himself. And Paul said, I withstood him to the faith because he was a blind. In other words, Paul, Peter didn't want anybody to see him associating with Gentiles, because at that time and in that day, the Jews counted the Gentiles as dogs. Amen. Now that condition has totally changed, because we got Jews living in America here, and they're as much respected and even more so in some realms than the Gentiles. Amen. Every political leader that runs for president or whatever he does, he wants to be careful not to offend the Jews and promise to support Israel. So that condition don't even fit nowadays, does it, in this Western society. But the point was, they did. Paul said, I withstood him to the faith because he was to blame. Amen. And we go on different things like that. There's meats and drinks. Paul said, now some believe that they can eat any of the meats and drinks and so forth. Said others believe that they could eat only herbs. Now see, they ain't got nothing to do with this up here. Amen. In the Old Testament it did have, but not in the New. Amen. Now here it was instruction. Now swine meat, every doctor tell you it ain't good for you. Amen. And my mother, she had high blood, and the doctor took off swine meat. And I love sausage real good, but they always upset my stomach. I guess I'll just keep on eating them and keep on having upset stomach. Amen. But the Jews, you know, they said don't eat swine meat and certain meats in the Old Testament and so on like that. Amen. That's where you're getting down in here. Amen. If a person don't eat swine meat, I think just as much of him if he loves sausage as good as I do. Amen. But then, because that deals in this realm. But now, if he says, I believe it's all right to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're getting in the doctrinal realm there. Amen. See, we've got to see eye to eye on that. Amen. That's not movable. That's not changeable. Man has nothing to do with that. That's strictly in this realm, and it was fixed in God from the beginning of time. Praise God. Amen. All right. Amen. I'll tell you, I praise the Lord. Now notice here, a virgin, I have to preach that much there, a virgin, there's different than a virgin wife. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, how she may please the Lord, that she may be both holy in body and spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now I want you to stop and think about that. Do you think the young women today are more holy than those that are married and caring for the things of the Lord more? I think those that are married to a good man, settled down, amen, and I feel like they are closer to God and more able. Not that marriage or unmarried has anything to do with their relationship with God in that sense, but they just have less pressure on them and so forth, amen. The law of reproduction working in their life, amen. A woman has certain desires. A man has certain desires. That's a fact of life. Amen. It ain't something to look down on. Look down when you talk. It's not something you just talk about. But I tell you, you know, the schools today, everybody, that's their theme. Sex and so forth and nonsense. Amen. But let a man of God give a little instruction. People think you're getting out of place a little bit. Amen. Ain't so. Paul, he instructed right there just the same. Young women has a need in their body. A natural law begin to work in their body. If it wasn't, probably nobody would get mad. Huh? Amen? Well, where'd that law come from? Did the devil put it there? No, God put it there. Sometimes the devil will try to get in there and pervert God's law. Amen. That's why they in the schools today, they boys and girls live together unmarried, and the world says, well, that's a natural fallen nature. That's a natural thing to do. It is a natural thing to do, but only in marriage. Amen. Is that right? How many will say amen? Only in marriage. Glory to God. And as we fulfill those things, it takes a lot of pressure off of us psychological. Amen. Are we realistic? Do we want the real things of the Word of God? Amen. What Paul's saying, if you're single or a virgin, not married, you're closer to God and you're more holy in body and spirit. That was strictly instruction. He says this, that I'm saying this because the time is so short. And he said, I suppose that this is good. That's verse 26. Read it for him, brother. Get out here.
I suppose, therefore, this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be.
All right. What was Paul present? Write this, brother, something like that, and put for the present. Amen. Because we want you to see this today, and this is not going to be a sermon that you go home and forget. This is something you'll study in the Bible, will become realer to you as you read it. Some of these things that have bothered you all the way through, and don't tell me it ain't, it has. Amen. Some of these things, all right, now this is for the present. Reproof, correction, instruction. This is for the present. Is that what Paul said? I suppose that this is good for the present. This year is for eternity. This is not, this was in God before the world was. Amen. How many sees it? All right, then if this is for the present, we got to have the same type ministry that they had in Bible days in order to have this.
Amen.
Is that right? Glory to God, the church had returned back to its original. The same Christ that was came on the day of Pentecost into that early church, he's portrayed as coming again in an angelical spiritual form in Revelation chapter 10. That's after the opening of the seals and so forth like that. Amen. That's the day and hour we're living in. 1963 was a great time in history. God came down and opened the seven seals. Praise God. And now we got the present ministry. Amen. Those gifts that were in Christ, they left in the church. He has come back and He has activated them again. Amen. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. Now I want you to just look at what's on the board and get in your mind, because a lot of times what you hear, you only get so much percent. But when you see it and hear it together, then you get a greater percentage. See, as you think about this sermon throughout the week, you can think about this year present, and maybe you'd like to draw this out for yourself. Amen. As you study the Word of God, it will become such a wonderful book. This year, we've been bound down many times by things that we didn't understand. This message is just like the Lord Jesus Christ coming, cutting great bands off of you, and let you go free. Hallelujah. Let you see the Word of God, and let you appreciate the Word of God, every Scripture. Every Scripture. Appreciate it. Amen. Even though every Scripture don't apply to you personally, amen, you can appreciate it for what it was given for in the day and the hour it was given. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I wish we had a little more time to stay on verse 34, but verse 34, you might read it again. There's a difference between a virgin and a married woman. The virgin is more holy in body and spirit, he said. And then I'll just leave it and continue, because I haven't time to stay as long as we need on each one. Verse 35, and this I speak to you for your own profit. I tell you what. If he was speaking for his own profit, the church's own profit here, and this is made a doctrine of the church, how could he 6 years later, which we're going to read in just a moment, 6 years later, write and invalidate these things they wrote here? It was for their own profit as he looked at the condition that existed then. But 3 weeks later, the condition could have changed, and at least it changed within a 6-year period. The condition was altogether different, because by then Paul was in prison and he saw that the Lord didn't come when he thought he was. Amen. Oh, I praise God, don't you, for the Word of God. Amen. So that's where the living ministry is. That's where the living Christ. And that, remember the Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, Paul was wrong on this. And Paul, I'm not saying he was wrong, because at the present time, see, he made sure that we knew. He said, I suppose this is for the present distress. But here's where we make the mistake. We try to make this up here. And if we do, we'll make it a sin for a young girl to marry. Amen. Doug will preach celibate. If we make this right here, this up here, we'll say if you're married to a woman, just live with her as though you're not married to her. In other words, no family relationship. Amen. But brother and sister, we don't make that this up here. Amen. This up here, it's fixed in God. This here was merely instruction. Amen. This gospel's got to be defended, haven't it? Amen. You know, we not only take the land. Amen. We defend the land that we've took. Amen. So, at this time,
We're going to get Brother Miracle come.
It's all right, too. I was in a lot of things one time, but such were some of you, right?
Yeah.
Amen. But anyway, they sing a song about, "Do you hear them coming, brother?" Help me, sisters. Singing out the victory song, clad in garments white and spotless, the pure and white. Oh, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it's a glorious church without washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what he's coming back for.
So, God love you. God bless you. Let us stand, please. Amen. All right. Glory to God.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel, God uphold you. With His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we with me at Jesus' feet, till we meet.